Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Kama Daf Ayin Ches, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Ches Amar Aleph, 9 lines from the top, El Hoda Amar Rava. In the previous shiur, the Gemara had taught us that Rava has a binyan av, that wherever the Torah uses the word set, it means to exclude klein. The Gemara had also taught us that by the din of Dal Vehei, our sugya, klaim are included in the chiv of Dal Vehei. The Gemara had also brought a limud to teach us that by karbonos, klaim may not be brought as a carbon. So now ask the Gemara, if Rav is teaching us that there's a binyan av, that wherever the Torah uses the word seh, it means strictly a set and not klayim, regarding what situation did the Torah teach us that did? Ask the Gemara. Elohadam Rava. Rava that stead, Zed b'nei av, the kol mokim shenem is seh, that whoever the Torah uses the word seh, as ena elo lahoitzis a klayim, it means to exclude klayim, l'may hilchasa, regarding what application did Rava mean to teach us this? Ilakachim, if to teach us that a klayim cannot be used as karbonis. Behedik sibu, as we learned in the previous year, the Torah says the word shar oi kesef, and we said that the oi comes to exclude klayim. Prat le klayim. Ila maisa, if it's to teach us that we can't use a klayim as a carbon, maisa behema, tachas tachas yalf mikotchim. There's a gzera shava that equates all of the dinim by meiser to the dinim by karbonis. Ila b'char, and if it's to teach us that the halachas of b'chayra don't apply to a klayim, that too, havara havara yalf meiser. There's a gzera shava that connects the dinim of b'char to the dinim of meiser. So it's obvious that the dinim of b'char will not apply to a klayim. Inami, nidma amrit loy, even if you will say that since the halacha is that an animal which is a nidma, which was explained in the previous year, it's an animal that was born from two parents that are both kosher, but the animal doesn't look like any of its parents, the ksif, that a nidma, the din of b'chor, doesn't apply to. Because the Torah says, Ach b'char shor, Achi hu shor, U b'chayru shor, only if the child looks like its parents, then do the halachas of b'chayru apply. Otherwise, they don't apply. So if a nidma, which we explained at the end of the previous shiur, is a lot less of an issue than a klayim, and if the Torah teaches us that a nidma is excluded from the halachas of Bechor, certainly klayim are excluded from the halachas of Bechor. So the Gemara's klayim ibayi. So the Gemara's question comes back, what do we need the binyan av that Rava taught us to exclude klayim? It's interesting to note that we learned the halacha of nidma, that a nidma is not subject to halachas of Bechor, that we just learned, and we also learned in the previous year that a carbon, a nidma, cannot be used as a carbon. And the question obviously is, why do we need two psukim to teach us that this din applies both by b'chayra and kachim? Why can one not be learned from the other? So the Rishonim respond that although the din of nidma is applicable both by b'chayra and by kachim, the type of nidmas are not identical. For by Bechaira, if the child born from these parents is somewhat similar to its parents, even though it's not completely identical, it will be subject to Bechaira. By Kachim, even if it's somewhat similar, it's still possible. And since the dinim of nidma, or the type of nidma, is not the same by Bechor and by Kachim, that's why the Torah has to mention the din of nidma separately, both by Bechor and by Kachim. So the question comes back, regarding which subject, regarding which halacha, did Rava state the spinyan av? says the Gemara, Elaki Itma the Rava, regarding which subject the Rava teaches to Spinyan Av, Linyan Petach Amor. Regarding the Halacha of a Petach Amor, we know that the firstborn donkey has to be redeemed, and the Torah says that you should use a Seh to redeem it, and teaches us the Gemara that the Mishnah says, Ein Poidim, we may not use to redeem a firstborn donkey, loy be'egel v'loy b'chaya, not a calf nor a chaya, neither of them are in the category of a seh, v'loy b'shchuta, nor can we use a geshachtana seh, v'loy b'treifa, nor a seh that's a treifa, v'loy b'klayim, not with a klayim, v'loy b'koy. B'koy, as we know from a number of places in Shas, is a hybrid of a goat and a deer, and the Gemara many times discusses what is the status of a koi? Does it have the status of a behema? Does it have the status of a chaya? And the Mishnah teaches us that all of these things cannot be used to be paid the petach amor. And that's what our Mishnah comes to teach us. That's what Rava comes to teach us. That how do we know there has to be a seh and it cannot be a klayim? We learn it from Rava's Binyan Av. Ask the Gemara, or Rebbe Lezer, the Matta B'Klayim, according to Rebbe Lezer, that says, Klayim can be used to be paid up at the Chamor. The Tanan Rebbe Lezer Matta B'Klayim, of Neshu said, since it comes from a goat and a seh, and that made it together. Rebbe Lezer holds that since both of them are in the family of a seh, it can be used to be paid to redeem a petach amor. We're back to where we started. Lamai hilchasa. Why do we use Rava's Binyan Av? And as the Mefarshim explain, it's not to say that Rebbe Lezer can't argue on Rava. Rebbe Lezer is a Tana. Rava is an Amora, and certainly Rebbe Lezer has the right to argue on Rava. The Gemara's question is, however, Rava, as we explained at the end of the previous year, learned his din from a pasuk, and the Gemara's question is, what will Rebbe Lezer do with the pasuk that Rava used? Answers the Gemara, Amlach Rebbe Lezer, Kietman de Rava, regarding what was this halacha said, regarding the Tomei, Shenoilid min haTohar, Vibur min haTomei. If we have a situation where we'll have a cow was impregnated by a horse, so the mother is a kosher animal and the father is a non-kosher animal, teaches us that that animal will not be considered a kosher animal. Or the like Rabbi Yeshua, the halacha will not be as Rabbi Yeshua says, the Rabbi Yeshua. Because if we follow Rabbi Yeshua's opinion, Mesek Savim Vese'izim Nafgalei, that then already Rabbi Yeshua learns from the Pasuk of Sek Savim Vese'izim to teach us that it's only considered kosher Achik Aviv Keves Vima Kivsa, unless both parents are a kosher animal. If both parents aren't kosher, the child is not considered kosher. Ask the Gemara, is this what the Pasuk could be talking about, that there was a kosher and non-kosher animal mating together? Is that possible that such a mating could create a child? Utahira mitamei mitamei, can a kosher animal become pregnant from a non-kosher animal? Answers the Gemara, in yes, can the case is there is a case that we could find the kaimelon the ibrit mikolot kripshimen. A kolot is an animal that was born from two kosher parents. Both the mother and the father were kosher animals. And we know that the simonim of a kosher animal are split hooves and chews its cud, malagera. And a child was born from two kosher parents, two cows or whatever, but it was born as a kolot. Its hooves would not split. There is a machloikis if such a animal is a kosher animal or not. According to Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says that such an animal is a kosher animal. Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says that since this child does not have the simonim, does not have the signs of a kosher animal, it's not considered a kosher animal. There is also a machloikis regarding which situation are Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Shimon arguing. Because the example that the Gemara here, and in Masechet Bechorus the Gemara uses, is a colt, which as we explained, is that it doesn't have split hooves. What would be, however, if an animal was born from two kosher parents that does have split hooves, but it's not malagera, it doesn't chew its cud? Will the same machloikis of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Shimon apply? Says the Gemara that even though, according to Rabbi Yeshua, if the child was born as a kolot and it's both of its parents are kosher animals, it is considered a kosher animal that it may be eaten. The halacha still remains that if this animal that doesn't have the simonim, both simonim of a kosher animal, mates with a purely kosher animal and they produce a child, that child will not be kosher. And that's what the Braisa says, is what the Binyanov teaches us, that if the parents aren't both kosher with both simonim, but one, because one of the parents doesn't have both simonic kashrus, it's not considered a seh that should be considered a kosher animal. Says the Gemara, but ask the Gemara, boy Rava. Rava asked the following question. If somebody said harei olai oila, as we have said previously, there are actually two ways to accept upon himself an obligation to bring a carbon. There's a neder and an adova. A neder is harei zu oila. If somebody says, I'm going to bring this specific animal as a carbon. If somebody says harei olai oila, if somebody just says that he's obligating upon himself to bring a carbon, even if he goes and designates an animal as a carbon, if something were to happen to that animal, he has to replace the animal. So now Rava asks the following question, and as Rashi explains, Rava's question is according to the opinion of Rav Shimon, that Rav Shimon holds that a dova gayim lamamin kamamin dami, that something that causes somebody a financial loss is considered as if you deprived him and you have to replace it. By Rava, harei alai oila. If somebody said harei alai oila, v'ifrishar, and in order to fulfill his obligation, he designated a shor, or ba'ach v'ganav, and somebody came and stole that shor. So the question is, mipata ganav nafshe bekeves l'rabbanan, could the ganav replace the animal that he stole with a keves, according to Rabbanan, which we'll understand in a moment what the Gemara means? Boilus oifler b'lozim nazaria, or could he use a bird according to b'lozim nazaria? So as the Rishonim help us understand the sugya, certainly, if the animal that was stolen is still in existence, the very animal that he stole, he must replace. Furthermore, if he deliberately went and ate or used that animal, destroyed that animal, he certainly has to replace the animal that he had a gnaw from. Al Gemara's question is, where we had the ganif stealing this animal, and now he has to, and it gets lost, but he's still a ganif, and he needs to replace it, and the question is, does he have to replace the shor with another shor, or could he give a keves, or perhaps even a bird? What is the basis of the question? The Tanan, because the Mishnah says, if somebody says harei olai oila, that he obligates himself to bring a carbon oila, and he doesn't specify what type of animal he's going to use to be this carbon oila. So the opinion of the Rabbanan is yavi keves. He doesn't have to bring an axe. He could even bring a lamb to fulfill his chiv, because we know that a carbon oila could come both from an axe or from a lamb or even from a bird. And that's why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah oimer yavi tara ben yaina. He could even bring a bird, and that will fulfill his obligation. So now the Gemara's question is mai. What would be the halacha in this case where a ganif stole this animal? The owner accepted upon himself that he's going to bring a carbon oila, and this ganif by giving him back an animal that he can use as a carbon oiler, therefore fulfills his obligation. Idilma Matzi Amalei, the victim can say, Ana mitzvah amavcha bina lemevid. I wanted to bring the best type of animal. I designated a shor, and you can't just replace it with a lesser animal, a kevis or a bird. And again, as I said, the Gemara's question is going according to the opinion of Rav Shimon that a dova agorim lemomin is kamomin domi. And the Gemara's question is, what does that mean? There are two ways that the Rechroidim explain dafika yam. One way of understanding is that the Ganav says, I have an obligation to help you fulfill your obligation, and by me giving you this animal, you will be able to fulfill your obligation. Or do we say, no, he has to return what he stole? Or another way of understanding it, a little more lumdish, is as follows. Since the Gemara is suggesting he could fulfill his obligation with a less expensive animal than the one he designated, the ownership that the ganav had, the achrayus mamon that the victim had, is only up to the value of the cheaper animal. And since it's only up to that value, that's all the ganav has to replace. There is a very fundamental machloikis. What does the Gemara mean here when it says that the ganav has to, that the Gemara's question according to Shimon, what does the ganav have to replace? Some mefarshim say that the Gemara's question is not regarding the keren. The actual animal that he stole, that he has to replace, he certainly has to replace an animal of that value. The question in our Gemara is only regarding the kefil. What will be the ganav's obligation regarding the kefil? There are other mefarshim, however, who said that the Gemara's question is not only regarding the kefil, but it's even regarding the keren. Basli boya hada pashut. After the question was asked, Rava answered, "Ganav pata atzma v'kevis l'rabbanon b'olos oif l'rav loz ben azaria." The ganav could give a kevis or an oilos oif, and he will have fulfilled his obligation. Rav Achibrei the Rav Ika masn l'behedya. He taught Rava's halacha not in a question answer format, but he taught it to us in the following way. Amar Rava harei alei oila. Somebody said harei alei oila v'frish shor obach v'ganvoy, and now the ganav stole that shor potatzu v'kevis l'rabbanon b'olos oif v'lavoz ben azaria. He can fulfill his obligation by giving either one of these types of animal less expensive. This Gemara is the basis for a famous shaila. The question that comes up is where somebody stole from someone an esrig, an expensive esrig, and then the ganav wants to return what he stole. And the question is, must he return the same type of esrig that he stole, expensive esrig, or the value of an expensive esrig, or could he even return a less expensive esrig? The Marimins, based on our Gemara, says that he can return even a less expensive esrig, as our Gemara is teaching us that he doesn't have to return the axe, he can return a kevis or a oif. However, the Chacham Tzvi and the Mishnah Melech disagree with the Marimins, and they say there's a fundamental difference between a carbon and an esrig. By a carbon, as we have been learning, the owner, the one that was magdish the carbon, doesn't really have any ownership in that carbon. He's not allowed to sell the carbon. Even if he sells the carbon, the sale really doesn't have any validity. And therefore, as long as the ganav replaces what he stole, he will have fulfilled his obligation. However, an esrig, the owner of the esrig has the right to sell the esrig. And since the owner of the esrig has the right to sell the esrig, when the ganav replaces the esrig, he has to replace the esrig with the same value that the ganav, that the victim lost, so that he should not have any financial loss. The same question actually I saw this Gemara is the basis for a number of interesting shailas. A shaila that came up to the Marsham. There was a person who had accepted upon himself the position of being about tefillah for Musaf on the Yom HaNaroim. And after he accepted that position, he also accepted in a different shul the position of being the Baal Shachris. And the people of the shul that took him as a Baal Musaf say that we should have to pay you less, or perhaps we could be able to back out of the deal, because since you will be davening Shachris as the Shaliach Tzibur elsewhere, you, by the time you get to our shul to daven Musaf, you won't be as strong, and therefore the deal was done erroneously. And he says, I am going to be able to fulfill my obligation, I will come to shul, I will daven the Musaf, and therefore I am entitled to my payment. The Masham seems to suggest that the Baal Tefillah has a valid claim. But then I saw that Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein has a similar shaila, but he comes to a different conclusion. There he discusses the situation where someone was hired to be a Rebbe in a yeshiva, to be there every day at 9 a.m. to teach his class from 9 a.m. to whatever, and then this Rebbe accepted upon himself a different teaching position earlier in the morning before he comes to yeshiva at 9 o'clock. And the administration of the yeshiva says that this we don't agree to, because if you'll give another class in the morning before you come to yeshiva, by the time you come to yeshiva, you will not have the same energy level, you won't have the same abilities to give attention to your class properly. And he says, I'm going to fulfill my position. I will be there every day at 9 a.m. and do my job. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein that here the administration of the yeshiva is certainly correct, because the administration of the yeshiva, when they hire a Rebbe, expect and want that the Rebbe should be able to give 100% of his efforts to teaching the Talmidim, and by taking on this other position, he certainly won't have that same ability, and that they have a right to back out of the deal or renegotiate. Another shaila that the Mefarshim ask, again, the Paiskim ask, based on this Gemara, is the following situation. Let's say a ganef steals a car from someone, and the stolen car is a leased car. The value of the car, let's say, is $25,000. And the person who the car was stolen from now goes and comes to some sort of a settlement with the leasing company that instead of paying them $25,000, the value of the car, they'll settle for $15,000. And now the ganef decides to return the car. Does he have to give $15,000, or does he have to give $25,000? Or a similar shaila is, the insurance company pays the victim for his loss, so does the ganef have to pay only the difference, or does he have to pay the entire value of what he stole? The Shaar Mishpat clearly paskins in both of these situations that it's not similar to the situation of Kachim, as we've been saying, because in the case of Kachim, the person who was magdish to behema really doesn't own the animal, and therefore all the ganef has to do perhaps is help him fulfill his obligation. However, in these situations that we've identified, the victim actually owns the item that was stolen, and therefore the ganef has every obligation to return what he stole. Says the Mishnah, Machra chutz mi'echem v'mei shabai. If somebody stole an animal, and we're learning the halachas of mechtvicho mechira, that if he sells it, he has to pay shor v'seh, he has to pay dal v'hei. Here he sold it with the exception of 1/100th of the animal. Oy shahaisel abay shutfis. Well, let's say he was a partner in the animal, and after stealing it from his partner, he shechted or sold it, Again, the halacha will be that he doesn't have to pay dal vehe. Ask the Rishonim, then isn't this a din that we already learned? For we learned the other day, a Mishnah, that taught us that if somebody stole an animal from his father, and then his father passed away, and he sells part of, and he sells the animal, since he's now a owner in the animal, as a Yoirish, he no longer has to pay dal vehe. So what is our Mishnah teaching us that we didn't already know? Answer the Rishonim. In that case, the Yoirish is a partner, owns a percentage of the animal. Here we're referring to a situation where the Shutif is not a Shutif, and not a partner in the entire animal. He's only a partner in part of the animal. He's a partner in the wool, or he's a partner in another part of the animal. Still teaches us the Mishnah that since this individual is a partner, albeit a very limited partner in this animal, his chiyuv will be much more limited. Another halacha, hashoichet v'nisnabla b'yodai. If somebody shechs an animal, and as he shechs the animal becomes a nevela, or a noicher, is that somebody slits the animal at the length, the simonim, versus doing it halacha v'yavah on the width, or ma'akar, somebody tears out the simonim, the trachea and the esophagus, the kon and the veshet, instead of cutting them, the halacha will be mishalm tashlumei kefil v'ein mishalm tashlumei arba v'chamisha. He only has to pay kefil, but since it's not considered a ma'isa shchita, he doesn't have to pay arba v'chamisha. The Mefarshim point out that if in a case where a person did hashoichet, that he did a proper shchita, however, for what he intended at least to do a proper shchita, and it became a nevela, it's already not considered a shchita, and he's not chayiv, dalet vehei, then certainly in a situation of a noichem ma'akar, which is not an act of shchita at all, that he should be potter from dal vehei. So what does the Mishnah, after teaching us the halacha of a shoichem v'nistablu b'yodoi, also have to teach us the halacha of a noichem ma'akar? So some Rishonim say that the Mishnah is going with the zuvei and tzarech loy mazu. It's indeed self-understood. Other Rishonim, however, explain the Mishnah as follows. In the case of Hanoichav Ma'akar, that was the intention of this person. His intention was to do Nechira. His intention was to do Ikur. And therefore, even though it's not a valid Shechita, at least what he wanted to do, he accomplished. But in the case of Ashoichet v'nisnablu b'yodai, so what he wanted to do has not happened. He wanted to make a proper shchita, but that isn't what happened. So perhaps, since his intentions have not been fulfilled, it should be different. That's why we need to teach us both cases. Obviously, the Rishonim point out that this Mishnah is going according to the opinion of the Rabbanan. That even though in the previous Mishnayos we had the machloikus of the Rabbanan and Reb Shimon, that the opinion of Reb Shimon is that shchita sheinu ruya lo yishma shchita, and that's why Reb Shimon says if somebody shechted chulam ba'azara or somebody shechted v'nimtzas treifa, he will not be chayiv dal v'hei. The Rabbanan disagree with Reb Shimon, and they hold that a shchita sheinu ruya is still considered a shchita, and he's chayiv dal v'hei. In this Mishnah, the Rabbanan will agree that a shoich of nisnabla b'yodoi will not be considered a shchita, that it should be chayiv dal vehei. And Rabbi Kiva Eger explains what's the difference. Because Rabbi Kiva Eger explains that when somebody shechs an animal and it turns out to be a treifa, his act of shchita has somewhat accomplished something. Because we know that a nevela is tamei. A treifa is not tamei. So if somebody did a proper act of shchita, and the animal is found to be a treifa, even though certainly it would be prohibited to eat this animal, eat meat from this animal, still the animal, we've accomplished something, is not tamei. However, in the case of ashoichet v'nisnablu b'yodai, where he hasn't accomplished anything, the animal is an avela, and therefore it's tamei, the Rabbanan will agree that this shchita is considered a meaningless shchita, and therefore he will not be chayiv dalet vehei. So our Mishnah discussed the halacha of shechting with leaving an exclusion, that selling with leaving an exclusion, that the halacha is that that's not considered a mechira. So now the Gemara tries to identify and define what does that mean. What does, ask the Gemara, chutz mi echem ne mei shabai mean? Amar Rav, chutz mi dava anitim mei b'shchita. When we say that something is going to be considered a shiur, it has to be something that becomes mutter through the shchita, part of the animal that could not have been eaten without the shchita. For Levi Omer, Levi is much more lenient. He says chutz mi gezoseha, any part, even the wool, which the wool is permitted to be used even without the shchita, still it's considered a shiur. The kain tana b'masnitza, and so do we indeed learn in the braisa. It means chutz m'gezoseha. Meisvei, ask the Gemara. It says in the braisa, machra, if the ganav sold it chutz m'yoda, chutz m'ragla, chutz m'karna, chutz m'gezoseha, any type of a shiur, the halacha will be ein mishalom tashlumei arba v'chamisha. Rabbi Omer, dava ma'akeh b'shchita, something which is essential for this shchita, there the halacha is ein mishalom tashlumei arba v'chamisha. V'sheinu mishakeh b'shchita, something which is not essential, mishalom tashlumei arba v'chamisha. That means, according to Rabbi, if he left out, if he excluded the kana, the veishit, anything, the liver, anything which is essential that the animal should have for it to be considered a kosher animal that could be subject to shchita, that is considered a shear. But let's say he excluded in the sale a leg, which an animal could still be considered a kosher animal even when it's missing a leg, then it's not considered a shear. Rav Shimon Allah's Oimah, chutz mikarna, if he left out the horn, but if he left out the wool, then Misham Tashlum above Chamisha. So Bishlam Levi, Levi who said that anything that's left out is considered a shear, he clearly, his opinion is the same as the Tanakamas. El Rav, the Rav that drew a distinction between something that becomes mutter, that comes from permissible through the shchita, versus something that doesn't become permissible through the shchita. The question is, l'rav kaman, whose opinion does Rav follow? Amri answers the Gemara, Rav dam kahay tana. Rav follows the following tana. The Tanya, this braisa has a different version of what Rav Shimon ben Elazar says. The Tanya, Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, chutz machra chutz miyada, chutz miragla, if he left out the hand or the regal, then the halacha is ein mishalom tashlumei arba v'chamisha, because the yad and regal, in order to be allowed to be eaten, need the shchita. On the other hand, if he left out chutz mikarna, chutz mizasel, you could use the horn or you could use the wool even without shchita, therefore mishalom tashlumei arba v'chamisha. So now the Gemara begins to analyze the basis of the machloikus tanorim that we just quoted. But my kamiflagi, what is the basis of their machloikus? Tanakamasova, the Tanakamasova that holds, Levi holds the same way, that anything is considered a shear, says v'tavcha kula be'inan or machra kula be'inan. You have to have the entire animal. And any shear is considered a shear. V'rebi soiver, uv'tavcha, tavcha mid dahavet v'tficha. Anything that has to be there and is required for the shchita, that's where tavcha applies. Something which is not essential for there to be a shchita. And machra, domi de tficha. And we compare mechira to tficha, that when is the mechira mechira? Only if you didn't leave out something which is required to be there for the shchita. For Shimon Allah's a sover, kana, the loyla migza kaima, the horn, which is usually not cut off. So if somebody excluded the horn, have a shiur, and therefore en mishalem tashlumei arba v'chamisha, gizusel, however the wool, the lamegas kaimi, which are cut off, therefore are not a shiur, and therefore mishalem tashlumei arba v'chamisha. That's the first version of Rav Shimon. That's the explanation in the first version of Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Vidach, Tana the Bear of Shimon Meloza Sover. The other version of Shimon Meloza holds. Yad of Raglav, the Tzvicha Tvicha. The Yad of Raglav, that only become mutter through Shchita. So therefore, omitting them, excluding them, have a shiur, and if you excluded them, you'll have a loy mishalem tashlumei arba v'chamisha. You won't have to pay arba v'chamisha. However, kana gizusel the loy tzvicha tficha that don't require tficha loy have a shiur, and therefore you'll have to pay dal v'hei. However, ask the Gemara, Kasha Rav Shimon Elazar, and Rav Shimon Elazar. We have two different versions of what Rav Shimon Elazar say. How do we reconcile that? Answers the Gemara, Trei Tanoi, Valiv Rav Shimon Elazar, there's a Machloikas Tanoim, what is Rav Shimon Elazar's opinion? Tan Rabbanan, says the Gemara, we learned in the Braisa, Hagoyin of a Kitas, if somebody steals an amputated animal, or as a chigeres, an animal that's lame, v'sasuma, a blind animal, v'ken ha'goyne behemis ha'shotfim, if somebody steals a animal that belongs to partners, chayiv, he has to pay dal v'hei. However, v'shotfim shodganvu, if we have a situation where two shotfim steal together, the pturim. It's interesting to point out that the Netziv says that this braisa is the basis for interesting psak. He says that we know that on Shabbos we have to have lechem mishnah. We have to have two whole chalas to make the hamotzion by the meals. He says, and we know the halach is, if part of the chalas is missing, it's not a shlema, and it can't be used as a lechem mishnah. Let's say he says an interesting psak. There's a meal, a Shabbos meal, and the person made lechem mishnah and sliced up the challah, and now somebody unexpected comes to the meal and he also wants to wash hamotzi and do lechem mishnah, but there are no whole challahs available. So he says, if we give this individual, a very bechiddush, two whole slices of challah, even though those slices came from originally from a whole challah, so they certainly don't represent being a whole challah, but they're a whole piece as far as this individual is concerned, that will already be considered a shleima. His raya is this braisa, because this braisa calls an animal that's a kitas a whole animal. Didn't we just learn in the previous Mishnah and Gemara that if you sold an animal minus a part of the animal, that's not considered a whole animal, and you're not chayiv dalav hay? And here our braisa just taught us that if you sold an animal missing a leg, you are chayiv dalav hay. So he says it's a very fundamental difference. Where we start with a whole animal, and then you sell the animal, not selling the entire animal, you exclude part of the animal, that's not called the whole animal that you sold, and therefore you don't have a tafchay or machray. But if this is the animal that you have, the animal you have is an animal that's a kitas, so as far as we're concerned, it is a whole animal. That is the wholeness of this animal. Therefore, he says, of course, it's not l'chatchila, that one could use these two slices of challah, these two whole slices of challah, to accomplish lechem mishnah. So this braisa says that shutfim shagonvu, if two shutfim steal, they're potter from dal v'hei. Ask the Gemara Vatanya, but didn't we learn another braisa that says shutfim shagonvu achayovim in dal v'hei? Amar Rav Nachman loy kasha. Kam b'shutfim shagonvu b'chaveiroi. If one shutif steals from another shutif, then the halacha is that he's potter from dal v'hei. Kan shutif shagonvu ma'alma. Where we have two partners in crime, but one did the actual gneva, there, since they stole from someone else, they'll be chayiv together, dal v'hei. Eisei Rav l'Rav Nachman, yachus shutif shagonvu mechaveiroi. Here the braisa says that if one partner stole from his other partner, or shutfim shagonvu yechayovim, or should steal together, they should be chayiv dal v'hei, tamaloymer, v'tavcha kul b'inan, v'leka. So we see that this braisa teaches us that even if two partners steal from somewhere, someone else, they're still exempt from paying dalet v'hei. Elamar v'nachmaloi kasha. Kam b'shutuf shetavach l'das chaveroi. If two shutfim stole an animal together, and one shutuf shechted the animal with the consent of his partner, then they will be chayiv dalet v'hei. However, if he shechted the animal without the consent of his partner, he will not be chayiv dal vehei. Continues the Gemara. Boy Rav Yimriya, machra chutz l'shloishim yoyim. If somebody stole an animal and he sold it with the exception of 30 days, that means he didn't give the owner, the customer, the right to shecht it immediately. He told him that he has to wait for 30 days till he could shecht it, and the way the Rishayim explained, during those 30 days the Ganef says he will retain the right to work with the animal. He sold it, but he said that if you, the customer, don't shecht it, as long as you don't shecht it and you keep it for yourself, the work that the animal does should go to me. Or if he sold it chutz mi ubra, if he sold it minus the if it's it has a fetus in it, mahu, what is the halacha? Many Rishonim explain the Gemara that's going with imtim tzloimer, that one question is built on top of the other question. If you'll say chutz mishloishim yoyim is considered a mechira, what will be the din by chutz mimalachta? And if you'll say the chutz mimalachta is considered, what will be the din by chutz mi'ubra? The ktsois based on this Gemara says that we see that an ubra is not considered a dovish lebel oilim. A fetus is not considered a dovish lebel oilim, because if a fetus were considered a dovish lebel oilim, then the question is, how could we say, how can we even discuss selling something with regarding an Uber? Isn't an Uber a davish loybel oilam? However, there are paiskim that disagree with the tzais, and they say that even if we consider an Uber a davish loybel oilam, what the Gemara perhaps means to say is that he's making the sale, they're going through the actual kinyan, but they mean that it should only be effective when the Uber, when the fetus is actually born. And that type of mechira is not considered of a mechira, even if we'll say that an Uber, a fetus, is considered something shloi ba'ala oilam, that will not be considered a kinyan and a dove shloi ba'ala oilam. Ask the Gemara. It focuses on the last question of Uber. Aliva demand ama Uber yirch umehu, according to an opinion that says that Uber is considered part of the mother, loite ba'ilach. The shayba, the Uber is considered part of its mother, and if you sold it chutz mi ubra, it's like the previous gemara, and it's not considered a sale. Ki tibaylach, I'll leave the man doma uba lav yarachimai. Mei memrinin, do we say kiven the mai? What is the halacha? Mei memrinin kiven the mechuba ba havashir. Since the fetus is not looked at part of the mother, excluding it from the sale, is considered a shir. Since it, anyway, we separated from the mother, lo have a shear, so excluding it doesn't create a situation of shear. Ikad Amri, another way of explaining the question is as follows. Since it's not considered part of the mother, lo have a shear, so it's certainly not considered a shear. Idilma, kiven the tsarch ishtruya bahada bishchita, that if we shecht the mother midoraisa, the fetus that's found in its womb is allowed to be eaten. It doesn't have to have its own shechita midoraisa. So since the fetus is considered part of the mother, as far as that is concerned, command shir begufa dami. It's considered that it is considered a situation of shir, and the Gemara remains with a teiku. Boy Rapapa. Gunva katfa machra. If somebody stole an animal, amputated it, and then sells it. Mahu. Do we say he didn't sell what he stole? Because he stole a whole animal, and he's selling an animal that has an that's amputated. Oy dilma, ma de zobin aloy shayir. When he did the maisa mechira, he did a full-fledged maisa mechira. Whatever he is in this animal, he sold. And again, the Gemara remains with a tekel. So the Rishonim ask, why is this not considered a situation of a shinui maisa, where we start with a whole animal, and here the ganav amputates the animal? So certainly it's considered a shinui maisa that we have discussed, that when there's a shinui maisa, the ganav becomes the owner of the animal. So what kind of discussion is there here if he's chayiv, that he should be chayiv dal v'hei? We know that once there's a kinyan by the ganav, we've learned the concept so many times in our perek, shaloyu toveach, shaloyu moicher. So Rishonim say a very interesting teretz. They say that the concept of shinui maisa affecting a kinyan is only when the shinui maisa includes with it a shinui hashem. An animal prior to the amputation or post the amputation is still a whole animal, is still called an animal. So even though there is a shinui maisa, without a shinui hashem, it's not considered a kinyan. Devin also says that we're referring here to an animal, that we're talking about a cow that's here for milk, and therefore with the leg or without the leg, it's still able to fulfill its primary purpose of giving milk, and therefore amputating the leg will not be considered a significant enough act that it should become the possession, the property of the ganavs.